following message was given by Brother Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, June 12, 2016. The title of the message is The Anointing of the Compound Spirit, God's Building and God's Move. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 26 and 30.
Spirit and life. Amen. We love your word. Lord, we pray that through your word, you would infuse your very element into us this morning. Thank you for the precious cleansing of the blood. Thank you for full salvation. Thank you that you have opened the new and living way for every one of us so we can all come forward. And you have the full ground to fully anoint us. Thank you for the blood, and thank you for the anointing spirit. Amen. Lord, anoint yourself into every one of us here this morning. As we fellowship on this matter of the anointing, we want to be under the process of anointing. Amen. Lord, we're open to your very person. All of us are open to you in this hour. Amen. So we pray you'd have the freedom to move and to speak as you willed it today. We all open to you. We all give ourselves to you. And we all love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, saints, in the revelation and the word, there is a wonderful connection, a wonderful relationship, excuse me, between the matter of the anointing and God's house, God's building. And as we saw a little bit last week, and through this the messages in the crystallization training, in the book of Exodus, God reveals to Moses his intention, his desire for his dwelling place. And actually, it's very clear that salvation is for God's dwelling place. The goal, the destination of our salvation is God's house. This is the direction of the book of Exodus. And the book of Exodus is a picture, a wonderful picture of actually God's desire in the entire Bible. He wants to save us. He needs to save us. That's what we see at the beginning of Exodus. But the goal, the direction, and the destination is God's building, God's house. So the book, of course, concludes with the children of Israel erecting the tabernacle. And the glory of God fills the house. And so this is actually a picture of the whole Bible. This is his desire. This is what God has been doing since Genesis 3 in his move to save us. And all through in the beginning of the New Testament to his coming, his salvation is for this goal, for this purpose, right? Well, from chapter 25 on, the Lord gives Moses this kind of revelation in detail of his intention with his house. So he begins to speak and present item by item in such detail. And several times, not only in Exodus, but in the course of the whole Bible, this verse is repeated. This word is repeated. See that you do it according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. And so, item after item, in so much detail, God reveals to Moses and through Moses to his people all the items of furniture, beginning with the ark, and on and on and on. And then, after all the items are presented, two items are presented at the end. And I really am struck this time in this study with the order in God's revelation. It is so significant that after all the items are presented, only after all the items are presented, the anointing oil, or the compound ointment, is revealed. Followed by the incense. Followed by the incense. If you would take the time to look, we won't do this now, but if you take the time to look in the recovery version of the book of Exodus, and you would look at the outline. I think sometimes we don't pay that much attention to the outline to get a kind of overview of the book. But if you would look at the outline over this section, over these verses, you would see 18 items mentioned. All the details of all the furniture. But the last two are the compound ointment and the incense. And that we know that the compound ointment is an all-inclusive type. It's a type of the all-inclusive, life-giving, compound spirit. Amen. And the incense is something that is related to the matter of prayer. Amen. So saints, after seeing such a revelation, item after item, what is the conclusion? The conclusion is actually the spirit and prayer. Amen. The spirit and prayer are the way that all these items can be brought forth. The Spirit and prayer are the way that all those items can be made something not merely on the page, not merely as an Old Testament type, but something for us, for here, and for now. The Lord, as the Spirit of reality, the Spirit of reality, this is one of His precious titles, the Spirit of reality. He wants to make everything in the spiritual realm, everything in God's economy, everything of Christ, real to us, and I would say our reality. But how? How? It is by He Himself going through this wonderful process, which we depict by this very simple diagram, but there is so much involved. That is by His incarnation, His human living, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension enthronement, and then His descension, His coming as the Spirit. And this Spirit is the Spirit that we see in Philippians 1:19, where it talks about the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But this Spirit has everything of God and all of His attainments and obtainments, the entire process, everything He's passed through is now in this Spirit. And it is by our applying this Spirit, contacting this Spirit, and how do we do this? By prayer. Contacting this one by prayer, actually, we experience Him and all the preceding items can be brought forth in our experience. But what I really want to point out is that this anointing ointment, this compound ointment, is reserved for two categories. Only the tabernacle with all the furniture gets the ointment, and the priests who serve in the tabernacle. So this shows, saints, this points us to the fact that the Spirit is for the church. Amen. The Spirit is for the building of God's house. Amen. The Spirit is essential. Actually, if we don't have the reality of the Spirit, our coming together, and to some degree, is in vain, is empty. When we come together, we must have this all-inclusive Spirit. But I would say the reverse is true. Do you want to experience this all-inclusive Spirit? Come together. come especially to the church meeting. To the church meeting. I'll say more about this toward the end, because I'm quite burdened over this matter of the church meetings. Church meetings. Saints, the anointing is for the building. The anointing is for God's house. If we want to have the rich experience of the anointing, we must be those, not only in God's house, we must be those serving in God's house. And we can testify, many of us here, I believe, can testify, that there's a certain aspect of enjoyment when we are by ourselves. But there is a different aspect of enjoyment. It surely is the same spirit. But when we come together to serve, when we come together to pray together, to touch the Lord's business, whether this is for the gospel or it's for cleaning the chairs, when we come together for God's service, there is a particular anointing. There is a particular aspect of the Spirit. And we are so burdened that as we spread, as we multiply meeting halls, actually it does seem we're not just adding halls, we will be multiplying halls, multiplying districts. As we do that, saints, there is the need for many, many more saints to serve. But I hope that all the saints, especially all the new ones, could be shepherded into a life of service. And would not look at all the services in the church as merely outward activities. You know, in the church, there are a lot of services that we need. Yesterday, some of us were fellowshipping concerning the new meeting hall in Flushing, on Rose Avenue. Did you hear the closing will be within the next week or two, right? Within the next week or two. Well, though we should pray for this. We should pray. Never take things for granted. We should always pray. But yesterday, some of us were fellowshipping, and one of the brothers enumerated, was it 13? I think he said 13 services that are needed for to kind of support the church life. Oh, as we were listening to that list, I thought to myself, oh, I wonder, as you present this to the dear saints in Flushing, I wonder if the saints would say, oh, the church life was easier before we had the meeting hall. Oh, if we have the meeting hall, I mean, if we don't have the meeting hall, we just go to these places, we come and go, and oh, we're free. But now, oh, you want us to do this service and that service and the other service. Oh, well, saints, I could testify, and I believe many here can testify. Being involved in the service in the proper way is a great enjoyment of the all-inclusive Spirit. I would say even your enjoyment of the Spirit would be multiplied by being involved with the church services. You know, I could testify. I gave this testimony to the saints in Manhattan last week. When I was in high school, all the high schoolers were assigned to some services. We were assigned to services. And eventually, after some time, I was involved with five service groups. I see Brother Timothy Chang here. I was actually put together, Brother Timothy, I don't know if you remember. I was put together with Brother Timothy. I was a high schooler. And I was put together with Brother Timothy on the transportation service. And so I appreciated this service very much. Because I used to live in Brooklyn, very far. Actually, there weren't too many of us in Brooklyn. And if we would come to the prayer meeting, imagine this, saints. The brothers would not allow us to go home on the subway. The brothers set up a transportation service. And we would get, my mom and I, and sister Lucy, at that time, Grueler, we'd get driven home. And so then I would come on the weekends to spend the weekend with the saints. So then the brothers put me on transportation service. Of course, I was 15. I couldn't drive. But with the driver, they never sent a driver alone. Amen. They always sent a companion. So I was Brother Timothy's companion for a period of time. So on the weekends, I would accompany him to drive the saints home after the Friday night meeting. But not only this, I would tell you, many services, I ended up teamed together with saints that under, I would say, normal circumstances, I never would sit to talk with. Oh, I tell you, we had such an enjoyment of the Lord together in all of these services. So the service was not a duty. We didn't see it that way. The service was really an enjoyment. So we really hope more of the new ones, more of the young ones could be shepherded into this kind of experience of the Spirit. This is a particular experience of the Spirit that you can only have when you're in the tabernacle, when you're serving in the tabernacle. Now, saints, what is this compound ointment? This compound ointment is the triune God who has been processed, as we mentioned, by incarnation, by crucifixion, by resurrection, and now reaches his people as the all-inclusive, life-giving, compound Spirit. And as he's in us, it's very interesting that in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus put together the matter of the Spirit and the anointing. When he came, and we have this story, we had these verses this week in Luke chapter 4, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." So the Lord put this together, the Spirit and the anointing. And then in John, 1 John, the verses that we read in 1 John, I think many of us enjoyed these verses this week. Here, verse 20 says, "And you have an anointing." Amen. How about we say that together? "And you have an anointing." Amen. You have an anointing. I won't say the way Brother Dick Taylor says in the conference, "Turn to your neighbor and say, you have an anointing." But you could. You could encourage each other. "Israel, you have an anointing." How about we say this way together? "I have an anointing." Amen? I have an anointing. Dear saints, we all have an anointing. But it's very interesting that it does not say you have an ointment. It doesn't say you have the ointment. You have the oil. No, it says you have an anointing. An anointing. You know, this is the gerund. This is an action word. An action word. And what is the anointing? The anointing is the moving of the Spirit. Dear saints, all of us have the moving of the Spirit. All day long. And as this Spirit moves within us, what he's doing is he's adding his element into our being. You know, we have this very common example in the ministry and in these messages. Actually, in these messages, we had this example concerning painting. When you're painting, you're adding an element to the object that you are painting. So when you're painting, you leave something there. Something is transferred, right? When the Lord is in us, he is not in us in a stationary way. He's in us in a moving way. And as he moves, he adds. But saints, he is moving all day long. Last night, I went from my apartment in Midtown Manhattan by Grand Central, and I took about an hour train ride to the Bronx. Yeah. And when I'm on that subway, I tell you, so much moving of the Spirit. Some of the moving of the Spirit was, don't look at that. Don't look there. Do you have this kind of speaking within? This kind of moving? Don't look there. Then I was going to read something, and I had a feeling, don't read that. Read this instead. I said, amen. I said, amen. Do you know that by every little experience, he's adding something? We may not understand or realize what exactly he's doing. In the Spirit, there are many elements. The proper human living is there. The Lord's death is there. Resurrection is there. Ascension is there. You know, sometimes we don't know what we need. But as he's moving, he adds whatever we need. So saints, we just need to be in contact with him. We just need to respond to him. Of course, we know that a good way to contact him and respond to him, we say this especially in the gospel meetings, is to call. But I would say this morning, a very good way to respond is, amen. Amen, Lord. Sometimes the Lord, as you're sitting there, the Lord would just bring to mind a brother. Bring to mind a sister. Doesn't this happen? Maybe every day. Maybe you haven't seen them. There's no reason at this moment to think of them. But the Lord just, a thought comes. And you just have the feeling, pray. Pray. If we would say, amen. Oh, I tell you, saints, we would get more painting. And through our prayer, that person could get more anointing. I tell you, I was so happy in the meeting last night, as we mentioned a little bit at the beginning of the Lord's Table meeting, that last night we were in the Bronx. We had, there was about, I think, 87 of us there, not including the children, and probably about 14 guests, new ones, but not only new ones, recovered ones. Some who have not been with us so regularly. Oh, when you're in a gathering like that, and someone walks in whom you haven't seen for some time, oh, doesn't your heart just leap? Don't you just rejoice? Oh, I tell you, we were there enjoying the rich anointing. But I tell you, this past week, I cannot count how many times certain ones just came to mind. Certain ones just came to mind. And thank the Lord, I had the grace to say, amen, a little prayer. With a little prayer, particularly with one, there was an additional feeling. Little text. It's time for a text. So, I said, amen. But not right away, I have to admit. I thought, yeah, I'll get to it. And I put it off. And I put it off for actually a few hours. Then the Lord brought the name back. That time, a little text. And oh, the joy when I received word back from this dear brother who's not in the meeting so often. Actually, I don't remember the last time he was in the meeting. But by the text coming, I was watered. I was watered. Saints, don't you have this kind of experience every day? This, I'd like to point this out. This is not only the moving of the Spirit. This is the moving of the Spirit for God's house. This is how he's building the church. Through those experiences, he's building. Because what is the building? The building is actually the triune God building himself into us. And building us into himself. Ephesians 3:17. I love this prayer. Actually, I like to pray this prayer every day. Lord, make your home in my heart a little bit more today. How does he make his home in our heart? You know, what is making his home in our heart? It's him building himself into our inner being. How does he do that? I tell you, a great part is by the anointing, by his Spirit's moving, by his Spirit's moving. But you know, these verses in 1 John 2, they show us that the goal of the anointing, or I would say the result of the anointing, is actually abiding. That we would abide more in him. And that is, we're being built into him. He's becoming our abode. You know, I think when we heard this kind of lesson on the anointing when I was a young Christian, I totally missed the point. Because I thought that the anointing was so that I would know just what God wants me to do. So, if I would go to the store and I want to buy a pair of some pants. So I said, Lord, this one? Or Lord, that one? This one's on sale, but this is higher quality and could last longer. So I pray, Lord, and this is not bad. Actually, we should do this. We should pray over everything. But somehow, I have to admit, for a little period of time, I was very shallow in my understanding and thinking that the anointing was to help me get the best bargain. So, and if I would freely follow the anointing, surely this would last a long time. This would be the best. But saints, this is not the goal of the anointing. You know, as you're there, asking, Lord, this one, Lord, this one. Oh, I think he's so happy. Why? Because he has more opportunity to move, to add himself into you. It could be the more he anoints, eventually the answer is neither one. Put them both down and get out of that store. And he adds himself. Maybe he wants to touch you. Where to use those $20 you were going to spend? Maybe he leads you at that time to remember something, some other burden or some other need. So, but the goal actually is abiding. You know, in John 14, did we read this verse? Yeah, the last verse, John 14. I love this, treasure this verse. Jesus answered and said to him, well, let's read together. Jesus answered and said, you know, this word abode, make an abode, which is used in earlier in John chapter 14, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. My Father's house, there are many abodes. This is the noun form, right, of the word abide. Abide and abode come from the same root. How does the Lord come to us to make us his abode? Actually, it's by the anointing Spirit. The more he anoints in us, the more we abide in him. When we abide in him, that's this verse in reality. He's coming to us to make an abode, to make us an abode in the Father's house. So do you see, saints, there is a marvelous link between the Spirit and God's building, the Spirit and God's house. And actually, this building work is going on every day. Now, we enjoyed recently, the greatest prophecy in the Bible is Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. But how is he building? I tell you, for that to become realized, he went to the cross and became the Spirit. And now in us, every day, I would say even every hour, he wants to build himself into us. He wants to add himself to us. He wants to make us his abode. Now, you know, saints, as I mentioned before, spreading quite much. So burdened for the gospel. Of course, thank the Lord for the wonderful time that the saints here had last night. I understand there were about 20, right? 20 guests and 12, how many? 12? 12. The others were believers. 12 received the Lord. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. The Lord is moving. And the Lord is moving now, we can see clearly, saints, in every borough. In every borough. Actually, beyond the boroughs. He's moving in Stony Brook, moving in Jersey City, moving in Mid-Hudson Valley. The Lord is moving quite much. But I'd like to point out that actually we need two aspects of God's move. We need the inner moving to sustain the outer moving. This is very much in line with what we just touched in this Memorial Day conference. What is the increase? Actually, the increase is firstly the increase of Christ within us, which occurs by this anointing Spirit adding Himself to us. And then there is the increase of persons who are added to the Lord, added to the church. But saints, how can we be sure that what we're participating is the move of the Lord and not just outward activity? You know, there's always a danger. There's always this danger that as we become involved with so many things and with the Lord's blessing, initially, with the Lord's blessing, and we are, I would say, we are experiencing unprecedented blessing in the church here. But there's always a danger. And the reminder is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Verses 1 through 4. Where you have a church that has so many activities, but loses the first love. And eventually loses the standing as a lampstand. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't get trapped by the busyness of outward activities, but always have the outward moving that is a result of the inner moving. And saints, all of us can be involved in God's move. You know, when we hear some of these reports, I know this was in our church life history, we would hear many reports of the Lord moving here, the Lord moving there. And at one time, actually more than once, I had this experience. It's always where I'm not. The Lord is moving here. The Lord is moving there. And then, what about me? Yeah. So we may have some feeling. Oh, the Lord is moving in Staten Island. Oh, Staten Island. I hardly ever go to Staten Island. I even try to avoid Staten Island. The Lord is moving in South Bronx. Brooklyn, South Brooklyn. The Lord is moving in the Mid-Hudson Valley. And you may consider, well, what about where I am? Actually, if you have the Lord's inner moving, you are in the Lord's move. Amen. We just need to be more alert, maybe more aware. Because the Lord may move in you to speak to your neighbor, to speak to your co-worker, to your colleague. Actually, quite a number of the ones that came to our meeting last night. It's actually not those who we just go out to preach the gospel on the street. It's co-workers. It's neighbors. And actually, we've had increasing experience of contact with our neighbors, even in this neighborhood. And we're praying for where we meet, especially in Brooklyn, that we would have more contact with those neighbors. Well, saints, we need the inner moving of the Spirit to cooperate with the inner moving of the Spirit. Then we can be sure whatever we're doing is part of God's move. So I want to conclude by mentioning a four points. The fresh oil. You know, it says in Psalm 92, He anointed me with fresh oil. It's good to have the fresh anointing. Yeah. So the first thing I would say is we have to pray. We have to pray. Saints, when we pray, we give the Lord the ground to move further. We give the Lord the ground to adjust us before moving outwardly. And you can see that prayer and the move of the Spirit, they just go together in the Scriptures. Surely we see this in the book of Acts, how the saints prayed for 10 days, and then the Spirit was poured out. The Spirit moved. Then you have the experience in chapter 6 of the brothers. You know, there's a problem with some disturbance among the saints, and the brothers take care of it, and they say, we will continue steadfastly. We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And right after that, there's the raising up of Stephen. And through Stephen's experience and preaching, actually, and even his martyrdom, oh, the move of the Lord and the spread of the Lord's move in the Acts. And even all the way to Antioch. And then in chapter 13, you can see in the book of Acts, the brothers, five brothers, praying together. Then the Spirit had a way to speak and to move and to initiate even his move to all of Europe. So you see, saints, prayer and the Spirit's move go together. So in these days, we need much prayer, much prayer. Secondly, I would say, to experience the fresh oil, we need the oneness. We need the oneness. I'd like to, if you have your Bible, to turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. We didn't read this before. I think we're all familiar with Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It is like the fine oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down upon the hem of his garments. Here, saints, the psalmist puts together the anointing and the oneness, the unity and the oneness. Saints, when we have the oneness, when we have the one accord, the anointing is there. The anointing is there. I've been in some meetings recently. You know, in these days, because we're spreading, then there's the need for more brothers, more sisters to rise up, to function in ways maybe that you haven't functioned before. So we have brothers leading the singing here and giving testimonies there, brothers and sisters. We have brothers giving the gospel word and it's so wonderful. And so I've been in meetings recently when one brother, oh my, he did not do that the way I would have done it. He was actually what I considered, oh, overly bold. And I was concerned, oh my, you may scare away the dear new ones that are in this meeting. Even he called on a couple of new ones right in the meeting. They're just friends, you know. But you know what? Oh, I saw the new one. I actually spoke to them after the meeting. And they were so happy. They were so happy. And I feel, saints, when we have the oneness, the Lord just blesses. Whether you did it the right way or not the best way, or the Lord blesses the oneness. The Spirit was just there, because I know in the months leading up to that event, how much prayer and how much through the prayer the brothers were blent into one. And even before that very meeting, the brothers pray together and enjoy the oneness. Then they can go with boldness. And then whether you think it's the right way, not the right way, I tell you, you have the Lord's blessing of life forevermore. So, saints, oh, the oneness is so crucial. The oneness is so crucial. And even in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that he who firmly attaches us with you and has anointed us is God. Do you realize, saints, we are attached in the anointing. We are attached in the anointed one. So when we're together, we can enjoy this anointing. But I would say particularly in the church meetings, in the church meetings. You know, recently we've been talking about this point of the balance of the two wings of the church life. We have the smaller meetings, the home meetings and the group meetings, and we have the church, larger church meetings. And saints, surely we have the Lord's presence in all the meetings. But I tell you, there is a particular anointing in the church meetings. There is a particular enjoyment of the Lord and a particular impact in the larger church meetings. So after some time, we should pray that the Lord would shepherd all the new ones to the church meeting. Actually, may I say, Brother Ed, your testimony yesterday, I think it was, shepherding for some family for this period of time, 2 years, but they never would come together in the larger church meeting. Eventually, the result not so positive. They were not added as the remaining fruit. That was very impressive to me and confirming of this. Saints, we need the larger church meetings. We need to shepherd our young ones and new ones to the larger church meetings. And I would give you this testimony even from last night. You know, last night, actually, the majority of the ones in that, the new ones in Brooklyn, were dear believers already. And they came through us through our Bibles for America outreach. And just Thursday night, we sent an email kind of to all the recipients from the Bronx in the last 2 years. Just Thursday night. And we got 18 responses almost immediately. We'd like to come. We'd like to come. Well, 6 of the 18 came. And I spoke to all of them after the meeting, but especially a few older sisters, 3 of them. They came together. And the way they spoke about the church, the meeting there, the church gathering there, they just felt so at home. So at home. And one of them said this, "I never touched love like this before." She, this is actually, as I was leaving, she's one of the ones I didn't get to talk to, but she was the last one. And as I was leaving, she stopped me to say hello to me. And she said, "Oh, the love in this place," like this, "the love in this place." And then their intention, they'd like to visit the Lord's Day church meeting. The Lord's Day church meeting. So, saints, even these dear believers, it's their experience. To touch the church meeting, there's a certain anointing that you cannot touch in the homes. We're not putting down the meetings in the homes. What we're talking about, a proper balance. A proper balance. Because there is a rich anointing on the church meetings. Then that was number 2. Number 3 is a matter of the word or the truth. And these verses show in 1 John 2. It shows, if that, I think it's verse 24, if that which you heard from the beginning, verse 24, let it abide in you. That which you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. And in John 15, the same. The way to abide in him and let him abide in us is that to let his word abide in us. Saints, it's our experience. Surely all day we have the spirits moving. But if you spend a little time in the word in the morning, chances are you'll have a stronger moving of the spirit. Or we could say this way, you will be more apt to interpret the spirit's moving. Because we need the word to go along with the spirit. The word and the spirit go together. So if you want the fresh anointing, we need the word. We need the word. And finally, the last thing, going back to John 14, 24, 23, is we just need to love the Lord. The more we tell him we love him, the more anointing we have. You know, in Song of Songs, it says, "Your name is like an ointment poured forth." So when we say, "Lord Jesus, I love you," we have more anointing. So saints, not only we enjoy the anointing, This anointing is for God's building. And this anointing is God's move. Amen. I'll stop here. I think we will give some announcements. And then, of course, your time to overflow.